And I did want to take a moment to thank all of you who tuned in, and as we did the very, very long Holy Spirit school, I think it worked out to like 17 weeks. So thank you for your faithfulness, and now we're going to get back into the teachings of Jesus and following the lectionary. So this week I want to talk about confronting hypocrisy with humility. You know, humility is so important. It says over in James chapter 4, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, most of you know that I'm originally from the Harrisburg area of Pennsylvania. Growing up, my grandfather, I call him Pap, he was a Phillies fan, and I became a Phillies fan. And it was so good because in them years, he did not have a radio in the home. So in order for us to listen to the Phillies on the radio, we had to go out and sit in his car and listen to it on the car radio. So Phillies fans are very unique people. Now, I was excited to see they were in the playoffs, but a week ago or so, the Phillies lost the fight to get into the World Series, and they failed to win their last two games. Well, they forfeited a chance to move on to the World Series. But like me, when I was in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia fans are passionate, and everybody knows it. They put themselves out there because they love their team. And when, well, a little bit like Seminoles, if you want to be honest, but when the team from out of state comes to Philadelphia, they experience a kind of a culture shock. Now, I think in more ways than one, if you've ever been to Philadelphia. But what they soon realize is that the Philadelphia Phillies fans just love baseball. And they bond with their team in a way that nobody else can understand. The team understands because the current Phillies team and their fans are, you know, sort of like soul brothers. They have a tight bond, if you would. And it's almost as if every player has 100,000 doting parents and siblings cheering for them. They try to lift them up when they're down. They push them when they're not doing so good. They celebrate the wins and they mourn their losses with them. But no matter what, they continue to support them and love them just the same. Phillies fans may be passionate or even compassionate, but they're certainly not fickle. Anyhow, I said all that to say this. Our scripture text for this week shows Jesus in one of his more passionate rants. And anybody wanting to imagine Jesus as a meek and mild milquetoast type of person has not properly read the scriptures. Jesus was passionate about the mission that God had given him. His prophetic voice could sound loving to those who were mistreated or ill. But to those who he felt were abusing God's name, he could be downright insulting and loud. One thing we know about Jesus, he didn't mince words. If he was angry, you knew it. So the scripture for this week says that he was passionate and compassionate and angry. His anger is directed at the powers to be, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who he feels are abusing their power and status. Interestingly enough, Jesus tells the crowd that his disciple who he is teaching, that they should follow the teaching of the Pharisees and the scribe. Wait a minute, preacher. He's telling them to follow the teaching of the Pharisees? Yeah, because Jesus finds nothing wrong, essentially, with what they teach or preach. They are learned men of the day, and they know Judaism. They know the scriptures. They know the laws of Moses. And Jesus notes that they sit on Moses' seat, meaning they have been trained to be teachers and preachers of the law. However, I love the buts. Do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. We call them hypocrites in our day and time, those who say one thing and do another. Then Jesus goes on a rant worthy of a rabid Phillies fan. He berates them for the way they treat others. He berates them for not actually helping others in their faith or to improve their lot. He berates them for the loving the power status and the honor of their positions, for the flaunting their titles and their deeds. He berates them for their lack of, hear this church, humility, lack of servant leadership, lack of compassion. Oh yeah, he berates them for locking people out of heaven. That's what they were doing, by showing them wrong ways to behave towards others, for their teaching bias through their actions and leading in a false example. He even goes on to berate them for leading people astray and guiding them to betray God with unloving actions towards others. He berates them, calling them blind guides who are swayed by money and the opulence of the temple. He berates them for showing off their tithes and gifts to the public and yet neglecting justice, mercy, and faith. He berates them for teaching but not acting, adhering to superficial laws but not loving. You know, I can said many times that we can agree to disagree without being disagreeable, but we can still love. But they were adhering to the laws and not loving. Jesus is very passionate about God's mission, about God's people, and about practicing love and mercy and justice in everyday life, 24/7. And he's passionate about living out the faith in real and compassionate ways. Nothing but giving your whole health. Well, it might be the whole health too. Whole self into service. He doesn't hold back. He lets the Pharisees and scribes have it with full force, with all the passion and anger he has within him. Because he and God are on the same page. God loves the people and all the people, and so does Jesus. Jesus sees the way the teachers and enforcers of Jewish law act about themselves. They keep apart from one another. They have no compassion for the ill, the weak, the poor, or even the foreigner. They know the law, but they don't show love. They aren't interested in taking the time to get down and dirty, if you will, on the field in order to practice justice and mercy in their own personal lives. They talk a good game, but they don't act a good game. Their hearts aren't stirred by faith, but they are enticed with starry-eyed fascination with themselves, their power, their status, their money, and more importantly, their titles. Now, there's nothing wrong with titles, but when I first came into the ministry, they used the word reverend, and I thought, I don't want to be in the same context of people that are in the ministry that calls themselves reverend. No, some of those aren't very reverend. The only one I serve is reverend, and that's Jesus. I assumed and used the title unless I have to use reverend in an official sense. I'm a pastor. I'm a under shepherd to the great shepherd. Anyhow, I digress. But Jesus is a no-hold-barred advocate of Judaism, of God, of love and faith and service. Now, Jesus was a Jew and raised as a Jew, but he is no friend of the institution and hypocrisy that has emerged from the temple in Jerusalem, or you could say it in our day and time, the church in Jerusalem. But why is he searingly laying into the Pharisees and the scribes the way that he did? It's because Jesus is passionate about God, passionate about faith, passionate about people. And he holds still hope that he can get through to them. Jesus taught and preached everywhere throughout the known region of the day. He taught in his home, by the sea, on the hillsides, on the docks, even in the boats, if you remember the story. But he also taught and debated in the synagogue or the church, in the homes of the Pharisees, in public forums, and in the temple itself. Jesus did not only come to save one special group of people. In fact, this is Jesus' whole point in his rant to the Pharisees, who were teaching people with their actions, to be biased, to hate, to look past some and then revere others. He came to save everybody, both the poor and the rich, the downtrodden, and with those status, the tradesman and the landowner and the fisherman and the priests or even the Pharisees. In fact, when Jesus cried over Jerusalem, he was in passionate lament over the inability to be moved and swayed with those in power to repentance. Jesus was passionate, no doubt about it, passionate about his gospel, the gospel that God asked him to carry. So when God says love and show mercy and justice to all people, all means all, God does not mean for us to judge them, to decide who or isn't worthy, to shut somebody out or separate ourselves from others because we think we are somehow better. God means for us to love everybody. Now, we don't have to agree with everybody, so we don't have to like what they do. And we need to teach them about repentance. But more importantly, we can agree to disagree, as I said, but we can still love. Just prior to one of the Pharisees that he asked Jesus, what was the most important law, teacher? And Jesus had replied with the Shema. Hear, O Israel. Shema means hear in Hebrew. Love God first and neighbors as yourself. He even told us a story, and we call it the story of the Good Samaritan, further defining neighbors as every person that we come in contact with, even those, perhaps especially those even, not perhaps, but especially that we have decided to despise or don't want to be around them. And that's okay. We can still love them. But we don't have to love what they do or like what they do. And Jesus is very passionate about God's people. Guess who God's people are? His whole creation. Jesus is passionate about love. Today we celebrate the Sunday that we call All Saints Sunday. You know, Halloween came out of a church practice, basically, All Hallows Eve, which is the night before All Saints Sunday, and then it turned into Halloween. But we as the church still celebrate that day next, All Saints Day. This week it fell on Thursday, I think, or no, Wednesday. And so we look at it on the church calendar as All Saints Sunday. All Saints Day, we honor those people of faith who has come before us. We attempt to continue to walk in their footsteps because they were the ones who taught us how to be Christians, how to show love, how to behave, and how to walk with God. And many of them taught us in Sunday school and youth group or simply by their behavior. You know, we think of these people, not only from Bethel, but from your own background growing up in the church. We think of these people whom we revere, really. And you probably think of their gentle and giving nature and their willingness to serve and do anything for the church, their kindness to others, and their huge heart. We learn from the saints of the past. Bethel has a rich history of saints that in this church, and we try to honor them the best we can with Heritage Sunday and different things, and they're so special because there's a lot of people in this surrounding community that was touched by these saints. I digress, because we all read the scriptures, we all pray, we all come to church and worship, but we learn most how to behave and how to act out our faith and how to live the Christian life from those who we strive to emulate, our parents, our teachers, our pastors, our saints, our friends, fellow Christians. So Jesus was right to be passionate about trying to move the Pharisees' hearts, planting the seeds of grace. They may have taught the scripture to people's heads, but to their hearts, with their behavior and example, they taught people how to be biased, how to separate themselves from those who needed help, how to be haughty instead of compassionate, how to look down on their from their noses at others and criticize their lives. Often the lessons that we learn from our heroes can be hard to break. In this world today, 2,000 and some odd years after Jesus was berating the Pharisees and trying to get them to understand, we need to be careful about whom we emulate. Do we act in love and compassion, or do we act with distaste and arrogance towards others? We're going through a crisis in our country for that reason right now. Don't really like it, don't understand why people are acting the way that they act, but do we show mercies to those in need? Or do we distance ourselves from them? And do we learn to love? Or do we learn to hate? Wow, that's really a heart-wrenching thing to think about. So we must rely on Jesus and our saints to guide us with those hearts of gold and the wisdom of the ages. Those who had love and passion for God's people and a soul that loved the church. Not only the Bethel Church, but the church as a whole, the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. So as Jesus showed us in the scriptures, it's okay to be passionate. You can't have faith and avid commitment to changing the world for the better without passion. Sometimes when you see power, status, and institutionalism, arrogance, and money, and titles taking precedent over simply loving, passion can really and truly set things right. You got to be a seed planter. So as we go forward in this tumultuous time that we live in, and boy, there is tumultuous time. I love that song. He'll lead us over the tumult. You know, that word tumult in that hymn is really the root word for tumultuous. And we are in a tumultuous time, and God's love and grace and the ministry of Jesus and the Holy Spirit will lead us over the tumult. So, passionate about God's love? I hope you are. Passionate about God's people? And sometimes it's a little hard, but yeah. We got to be passionate for all of God's creation. He did create all the races, you know. No exceptions. And that's what makes us to be compassionate, loyal, and authentic and true in our Christian faith. You know, genuine, healthy forms of humility comes from spiritual growth. Why did we spend so much time on the Holy Spirit these past weeks? Because we want to develop spiritual growth. We become humble out of gratitude for what Christ has done for us. And when we realize that and we proclaim it and we accept it in our life, that's when the true joy comes to us in Jesus' precious name. Well, God loves you and so do we, and hope and pray that you got something out of the message or think. I like to call myself a seed planter. You plant the seed, let the Holy Spirit do the rest. God loves you and so do I.